Hail, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but please do not call unless we ask for calls. And, of course, if you're listening on the delayed rebroadcast on the Here's Help Radio Network, you can't call at all. But right now, just hold your calls. We have with us on the line Cal Grunwald, and Cal does help support Radio Liberty and help us bring you these programs 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, and about 60 stations every week as we try to reach out across America to warn people that difficult times lie ahead. Those who have been following the news today will notice that General Motors has announced they're going to be closing down another 10, 15 plants, laying off another 30,000 workers during the next year or two. And of course, we could anticipate that. We offer a four-tape set called The New Order of the Barbarians. And it is an interview with Dr. Dunnigan, who was a pediatrician in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who back in 1969 had heard a man, Dr. Richard Day, who was the medical director of Planned Parenthood, give a talk to a group of doctors where he told them about a group, a secret group, called The Order. And they had a plan. Oh, there were too many people in the world. They were going to have to create new diseases. They were going to have to lock up the treatments for cancer at the Rockefeller Foundation because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. And how they were going to get abortion legalized and encourage sexual promiscuity among our youth. But one of the things that stuck in my mind was the idea that we were going to actually try to shift the center of car production from the United States to the Orient. Specifically, we were going to encourage Japanese car production over American car production. We were going to turn out the cars that really were nowhere as good as the Japanese. So we were going to begin to shift our car production to the Orient. Now, that was 1969. We have a transcript of it. We have the discussions. I first heard the story over a decade ago, and we have put together a four-tape set called The New Order of the Barbarians. Is it possible that everything that's happening today is part of a long-range plan? Is it possible that there really is a group out there called The Order? It's an amazing, amazing story. I've talked to Dr. Dunning, and I believe he's telling the truth. And I think that now we're beginning to see the progressive decline of America's economy. I think we're going to see gradually shrinking of our productive growth as we transfer our jobs, as we transfer our factories overseas. And with that, of course, will come a disruption of our economy. And, of course, at least for those people who are invested in precious metals, I anticipate they're going to go up. What are your thoughts on that, Cal?
Well, it's fairly obvious that gold and silver are climbing dramatically. They've gone up about $20-$25 in the last week. So it's just the beginning. Many feel that this is just the start of the long ascent up for the precious metals, and I think that's going to come very, very soon.
Well, of course, we saw this back in 1979, as we began to see rising interest rates and really contraction of the economy. And they lost control of gold and silver at that time, and gold was $800 or $900 an ounce. Platinum was to $1,000. Silver got to $50 an ounce, and then, of course, they artificially lowered it. But it almost appears as maybe they're losing control. What are your thoughts?
Well, they are. The central bankers still are able to manipulate gold to a certain extent, because now the world is fleeing into gold because of the economic chaos around the world. They are losing control, and it's just a matter of time before they reach a breaking point critical mass, you know, is going to happen, and, you know, gold is just going to take off, and we're on the verge of that.
Well, I certainly see that really our central bank has worked in concert with the central banks throughout the rest of the world, but there are other groups that really don't want to go along with that, that are going to be looking after the vested self-interests of their country. And this is what we're seeing in the Arab countries today. This is what we're seeing in India today, and even to an extent in China today. As more and more of the Chinese are beginning to buy gold, as more and more of the Indians are beginning to buy gold and silver, which they've always really cherished, and especially as we transfer our jobs to India, why, they have the income now where they can begin buying gold and silver. And the same thing is true in both China and Japan. And apparently the people over there are buying a lot of precious metals, aren't they, Cal?
Yes, in fact, China and India currently purchase about 80% of the gold that comes out of the ground around the world. So they're pretty much capturing the market.
Yeah, and, of course, the central banks of the world have been intentionally selling gold for many years. And the reason that they sell gold is to drive the price down, because they don't want the average individual to have anything to trade other than the fiat money that they have created out of nothing, which is the basis of a totally fraudulent economic system. Nothing new. It was tried in ancient Greece. It was tried in ancient Rome. It's been tried many times throughout the centuries, and it has always failed, and it is beginning to fail here in the United States and the Western world. But with that, I fear are going to come terrible, terrible complications. We find now that just this last month, why new housing starts are down about 5.2%. We find that the industrial production, although apparently is increasing a little bit here in the United States, why, it can't anyway begin to offset the massive trade deficits that we've developed with the rest of the world, which, of course, eventually are going to have tremendous repercussions, because foreigners are increasingly buying up our factories and, of course, buying up our T-bills. And unfortunately, we have to get about $3 billion from foreign countries invested here in the United States every single day. And if we don't have that, why, of course, the whole thing is going to collapse. And what happens if countries begin losing confidence in our president, losing confidence in our military ability? We'll be back in just a moment with Cal Gwynville. Well, Cal, why don't you pick up this story? Now, you must be talking to people around the country. You know, I'm sure they're calling you to get your opinion on things. What sort of response are you getting from them?
Well, people are beginning to wake up. They're kind of in a state of shock, because they heard that these things were coming, but now they're here. The media's not talking about them, though. We get little glimmers, once in a while. But people don't know what to do. They're just like the deer in the headlights. They just don't know what to do. They're asking the question, what should I do? And because financially, gold and silver have never been offered or taught to the people. You know, they don't teach it in the school. They don't teach it, in the churches. They don't teach it anywhere. It's a foreign concept. So people are just sitting there while all they know about is diversification. Diversify, that's the buzzword. So all you do is move your money from one electronic, form to another, or into paper or do something, but you just shuffle it around, and it's all in the same vehicle, and it's all vulnerable, and it's all out of your control.
Well, I think what's so tragic is that so many people think that they're going to have a pension when they retire, and they're in for a big surprise. You know, it was on the 3rd of November when Alan Greenspan gave his final speech before the Joint Economic Committee of the Congress. And if you read the speech, it's really rather interesting. But, the last part of that is he begins talking about what the future holds. And he comments, there is no way that we are going to be able to meet all of the promises that we have made to people here in this country. And an awful lot of people are planning on retiring with a pension and with health care. And we should be honest with them. We should tell them the truth. They are not going to have that money to retire on. They are not going to have the health care coverage. So they should start perhaps working longer, but preparing for being forced to look after themselves you know, and we owe it to them to be honest. Now, that was the first time I ever heard Alan Greenspan make a statement like that, because of course they've been lying to the American people. Certainly, many of the employers, recently Delta Airlines, as you know, is in bankruptcy, and the judge commenting on the bankruptcy hearing said, why would you possibly make all these promises to the pilots and the airline employees? You know you would never be able to fulfill. And the same thing has happened with General Motors, and the same thing has happened with Ford and all the major automotive companies in this country. They've made promises. They've signed contracts. They've guaranteed they're going to provide things, pensions and health care to the retirees, and there's just no money to do it. And General Motors is gradually moving to transfer its production capacity overseas and simply leave the pensioners here with no pensions or 30 cents on the dollar. And, of course, we continue having inflation. That 30 cents may not buy you very much. And the same thing will be true with the health care. They've already forced many of the retirees to pick up somewhere between $750 and $1,000 in the health care benefits. These are people who've been promised those health care benefits. But this is just the beginning, I fear. Don't you, Cal?
Well, yes, and it's interesting, dovetailing with that, there was an article in the USA Today just this last week, actually November 15th. I'm looking at it right now, and I was very, very shocked to see it, because it's kind of the first time I've ever seen this newspaper tell the truth about anything. It talked about, you know, the headlines were as Social Security surges, and then it, you know, gave some figures, and Medicare takes off, that the deficit will soar, and then the result is a fiscal hurricane. And then it went on to explain how, he quoted David Walker, who's the Comptroller General of the United States. And he said, you know, he's talking about the baby boomers and, you know, Medicare, and as the baby boomers retire, he said, we face a demographic tsunami that will never recede. In other words, when all these baby boomers retire, there's not going to be the money there, and we're headed for a disaster. And then we have people like, there's a Democratic Senator, Kent Conrad, from North Dakota, and he was talking about, you know, the same thing with our, you know, national debt and the trade deficit and everything else. He says, we are not preparing for what we all know is to come. He said, we're all sleepwalking through this period. And, I mean, I asked the question of the people I talk to, you know, what are you doing to prepare for what's coming? And most people, of course, the people I talk to, they listen to you. So they at least know that there's something coming that's not very good, but, you know, the average person on the street, you say that to them, they'll say, what are you talking about? But, of course, we know different. There's another lady, Isabel Sawhill from the Brookings Institute. She said that the growing gulf between what the government spends and what it takes in is like a Category 6 fiscal hurricane. So these are all in that article, and I was just shocked.
Now, whereabouts is that article, Cal?
USA Today, November 15th.
Well, I would appreciate it if you'd send me a copy, and could you make copies of that available to our listeners if they wanted?
I certainly could. Another quote from David Walker, the Comptroller General of the United States, is anybody who says you're going to grow your way out of this problem would probably not pass math.
Well, you know, it's really very interesting. Today I've been studying the speech that was given on the 17th of November by Congressman Jack Murtha from Pennsylvania, who was the one who was very critical of our position in Iraq and simply said, we've got to bring our troops home. As after the election in December, we've got to start pulling our troops out. And then he went on to say the war in Iraq has caused huge shortfalls at our bases in the U.S., and much of our government equipment is worn out and needs to be either seriously overhauled or replaced. George Washington said to be prepared for war is one of the most effective means of preserving peace. We must rebuild our army. And then he said this, our deficit is growing out of control. The director of the Congressional Budget Office recently admitted of being terrified, and the word terrified is in quotation marks, about the budget deficits in the coming decades. This is the first prolonged war we have fought with 3 years of tax cuts without full mobilization of American industry and without a draft. But he's talking about the director of the Congressional budget office being terrified about what's going on. I think anybody who's studying what's going on should be terrified. If you read the federal figures, and they're up on the Internet, you can get them under the Federal Reserve System, you'll find that the debt that we have, that they will admit to, is about 3.5 times the gross domestic product of this country. There's no way that we can ever possibly pay all the things that have been promised. And what is the current Congress doing? Why, they're cutting taxes and increasing spending. And we're laying ourselves open for the total destruction of our economy. And this is exactly what happened in ancient Greece. It happened in ancient Rome. It happened in Weimar Republic. It happened recently in Argentina. It happened a decade and a half ago in Russia. And it's happened hundreds of times, you know, the last several thousand years. You would think that people would have learned, but of course the people here in America think that the good times are going to go on forever, and I don't think they're going to. Do you?
No, in fact, a very kind of interesting story. I went down to Chicago about 3 weeks ago to go to a Home Depot that I've gone to before. I only live about 4 hours from Chicago. And when I got down there, that Home Depot was closed, and so I called another Home Depot, and they said that the Home Depot has closed 3 Home Depot stores in the Chicago area alone in 1 year, last year.
Now, was that simply because the people were not buying as much as they had in the past?
No, they can't. They don't have the sales to sustain their stores, so they just close them up. You know, so Home Depot is a giant. You got the Home Depot, you've got Lowe's, you've got General Motors, you got Ford, you got Chrysler. You know, Delta. You got all these giants that are collapsing right in front of our eyes, and nobody seems to be waking up. And I talked to a lady in Detroit. You know that your station goes into Detroit. She was saying they just published the numbers. There's over 50% unemployment, 50. 50% unemployment in Detroit, and now what's happening is these people from the inner cities are going out to the suburbs, and they're breaking in these expensive houses, and it's a severe problem now.
Well, I think, of course, this is exactly what they're seeing in France, where they have, they have a large percentage of Muslims. About 10% of the population are Muslims, mostly from Northern Africa. And, you know, they're talking about, 15% general unemployment, but 30% unemployment among the young Muslims. And, of course, they recently were rioting. They burned 6,000 cars, and of course just total disruption of the economy. And we're laying ourselves open for that here in the United States by intentionally bringing in literally millions, the figure is somewhere between 15 and 20 million illegal people from south of the border, who are being organized by radical pro-communist organizations, La Raza, Maldave. And of course, if you read what their leaders are saying, they're saying, you saw it in France, but you're going to see it here in America. And there's a gentleman who is with a committee for Aztland, which means they're going to seize California, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas. They think that their 5 states belong to them. And he said, you know, that you're going to see exactly the same thing that they're seeing in France. And as unemployment grows and the people who are here illegally been promised they're entitled to all of these things, for violating our laws, but we've encouraged them to come, given them free health care, given them free schooling, given them subsidized housing, given them welfare. Why wouldn't you come? If I was from Mexico, I'd certainly come to America, any country would be dumb enough to do that. But then, of course, when they take what I'm entitled to, why would we begin taking it by force? And I think that's really what you're describing, isn't it, Cal?
That's very true. And we're just gradually getting taken over, and big money people, the big oil people are in charge, and that's the way it's headed. So we have to do something individually to head it off for ourselves.
That's really, we're going to have to. Certainly we want to keep moving, doing everything we can to try to save the country. But our plea to you is begin looking after yourself as well. Understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. Your first obligation is to your family, and then to your neighbor, and then, of course, to try to do something about the country. But, of course, your first obligation is to God. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald, and certainly we're talking about what's happening to the economy. And, you know, I've been following things for, well, I guess pretty close to 40 years. I got started watching precious metals. And one of the most amazing things, really, I remember, of course, in the 80s or late 70s, when gold began to shoot up. But we haven't seen anything like has happened in this last few weeks. I can't remember when we saw it last. When was it, Cal?
Well, it was probably a couple months ago, but gold has gone in spurts, and then it's kind of receded because there are a lot of speculators in the market. But it always goes up again, reaches a higher plateau, and then it comes down again as the speculators take profits. But then right now we're at... Gold finished today at $489.50, so we're only about $11 away from a $500 gold, and I think that's a psychology number. Once gold hits 500, I think we're going to see a small panic, if not a large one. I don't want that to happen because, as I mentioned before, gold is very, very scarce. Gold production is the lowest it's ever been since 1931. Gold demand is the most severe it's ever been in the history of the world right now. So there's very little gold out there. And people are sitting there on the fence, deciding whether they should buy some, even gold at this price is going to be a bargain when you consider where it's going to end up once our currency collapses. People say 2,000 or 3,000, that's rather conservative, an ounce.
You're not talking about $2,000 or $3,000 an ounce for gold, and many think that it's going to go a great deal higher than that. And of course, when the currencies begin to fail, and all fiat currencies throughout all history have failed, why, of course, where are people going to go to have some protection for what they've worked their whole life for? And all you need to do is study the history of what's happened in France. We carry a book called Fiat Money Inflation in France. What happened in France after the French Revolution in 1789, and you read that book, and you see what's happening today, and it's like deja vu all over again. And, of course, what about silver? Silver has certainly been responding really quite well.
Oh, yeah. Silver finished at $8.13 today. So that's tremendously strong also. Again, the metals are just reacting to the world's economic situation right now. And, Americans are the only ones that are asleep.
I think what's really so interesting is that ordinarily gold and silver rise as the dollar falls. And when then the dollar rises, well, gold and silver fall. This is a paradoxical situation. The dollar has been very strong. It may have been off just a little bit the last few days, but it's really been in a what I believe is a bear market rally, going from 80 up towards 100. And yet in the face of that, gold and silver has been going up. Why is that? Why are we getting such an abnormal reaction?
See, because gold, the dollar is like a mirage. It's like the rest of the world has already rejected our dollar. It means nothing to them. What means to them, in fact, when we pay our bills overseas, even third world countries are demanding euros. So we have to transfer our dollars into euros to pay their bills. So they could care less about our dollar, whether it's strong or not. But what they recognize, though, is that the gold is real money. So what gold does is important to them. What our dollar does is not.
Well, I think it's very interesting. As you read some of the things that Alan Greenspan has been saying, he's saying that the American dollar as a reserve currency of the world may be coming to an end. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I was just commenting something that Alan Greenspan had said recently, that he felt that the dollar would remain the reserve currency of the world for a time. But sooner or later, and he didn't say when this was going to happen, we were going to lose the reserve status of the dollar. Now, the reserve status of the dollar has been a wonderful thing. We've been able to export our inflation to other countries throughout the world, so we didn't feel the ravages of inflation, and we've got them to sell us all sorts of widgets and all sorts of wonderful things, giving them paper money that was totally worthless. And as long as they'll continue to take that, it's a wonderful situation. But when there is a challenge to the American dollar, and of course, The euro certainly is, certainly has a fair amount of gold backing to it. What's even more interesting is that Iran is talking about setting up a special place for a market for selling oil, and they, instead of course, will accepting dollars, will be accepting euros, which is one reason why I think we are going to attack Iran, because if Iran were to set up a oil market denominated in euros, it would challenge our ability to dominate the world economically, and we would have no alternative other than to either see the dollar destroyed or go to war with Iran. So I think it's only a matter of time before we go to war with both Iran and Syria. Do you have any thoughts on that at all? Have you heard that story about this new market the Iranians are talking about opening the first of the year?
No, but sure, you're far more in tune than I am with what's going on, but interesting, you know, that speaking of the, you know, Iran, but I read an article in the paper the other day. There was a poll taken, and Americans are very, very fed up with Georgia's Iraqi war, and they see that it's not going to get over. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Now most Americans are in favor of isolationism, you know, and that's, of course, I've always been in favor of isolationism. Not, you know, we don't need to stick our nose in somebody else's country and, you know, mess up their world leaders or kill them or anything else. So most of the American people now are coming full swing to all, you know, giving all these handouts and, you know, trying to help, so-called help the rest of the nations on the earth.
But of course, our leaders are intent upon globalization. They're intent upon destroying the sovereignty of our nation. They're intent upon using our military and our financial resources to bring about this world government that they are dedicated to, and they don't care what the American people think. They intend to have a world government with a world court, a world army, a world executive, a world legislature, a world police force, and of course the world government monitoring every person in the country. And so, you know, here you have the dichotomy. The American people want something. The average American right now would like to get out of Iraq. We know we're in a mess there. We don't know how to do it. That's because nobody has rather told them that we're arguing all the wrong issues. But rather than getting into the subject of Iraq, the economic complications and implications of what's going on, I think are frightening, because we're turning the whole of the Muslim world against us. And if they ever combine their 1.25 billion people, or team up with India and or
Thank you. 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 I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you. Thank you.